Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our brother Rick Tyler is away this weekend. He's actually visiting his mom down in Florida, and I hope that he has a safe trip back. It is quite a lot going on in the world today, friends. I do want to welcome you here to the program. I'm glad you're tuned in. Rick will be back with me soon. A lot of things have happened in a very short period of time, and if you're listening to this live this Sunday evening, then you understand what's going on with this, what's called a pandemic, with this virus that a lot of people have contracted, and a lot of people are being isolated in a lot of towns. Fortunately, where I live, things are going along pretty well. But there are a few, you know, a lot of the restaurants and stores, a lot of churches, including Prophecies of Hope, we are told that not to have any more than 10 people visiting. That came from the CDC. And, you know, I don't want to instill fear in anyone. We have tremendous hope. And before I get to that, I just want to say that, again, welcome to the program. Glad you're here this evening. And I hope that if nothing else, that being here will give you a peace of mind, that it will calm your heart. A lot of people are really uneasy right now. But I want to begin by thanking our brother and friend Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to broadcast here each and every week. I want you to keep in mind that you can catch us here every Sunday right here on New Visions Radio. You can find us here every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. And we hope that you tune in. If you happen to miss a program, you can usually catch it in the archives. You can also find our website at prophecyhope.com. There are a number, hundreds of sermons there that have been given by me and our brother Rick Tyler and another friend and brother Ed Short. From time to time, we have visitors that will come, and we get them to speak for us as well. There's not many of those, but that does happen. And I just want to say that if you'd like to send an email with a Bible question, if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to reach Rick, you can reach him at rick@prophecyhope.com. If you have a hard time remembering our names, which a lot of times people may, you can just send a generic email to office@prophecyhope.com. And we will get that email, and we will reply. We try to respond to every email we get. But I just wanted to take a few moments and just say I hope that you are safe. I hope that you're listening to what the authorities are telling us, that you're isolated, particularly those who are old, that we're protecting our families, our parents, our grandparents, those who are more elderly. I just hope that you're following the direction that we get. You know, we don't know how long this is going to last. Hopefully it's just temporary, and things will be back to, I guess, what we would call normal as soon as possible. Now, if this is recorded, I apologize for revisiting this for you. But, you know, it's always good to remember things that have happened. And, you know, just think about it. To me, when I see these things, I don't like scare tactics. I don't like scaring people into coming to church. You know, a lot of times I've noticed that sometimes ministers will capitalize on a moment like this and try to get people to come. But all I want you to do is just have confidence in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and know that Jesus and His Father, our Heavenly Father, want us to feel safe and comforted, that we can be comforted by the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that He will come into our hearts, and He can help us to cope with just about anything, not just about anything, with anything that comes along. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And I hope that you find some comfort in this. I just did want to share a scripture with you before we actually get started. But let's just open with a word of prayer, and then I'll share a verse with you, and then we'll listen to a sermon that I gave just a few weeks ago that hopefully will be encouraging to you. So let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word, the Bible, that we can be comforted by the things that are there. Father, we thank You that we have this technology, that we can listen to Your word, that we can still communicate. And we just thank You, Father, for every gift You've given us, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I ask for those who have been affected by this virus that you will care for them, that your will be done in their regard. If there is a way that people can be ministered to as a result of this, please give us the opportunity to be able to do that. Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask for your Spirit to be with us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, one other thing I did want to say is we will be broadcasting from the Prophecies of Hope Church this Sabbath, this coming Sabbath, as we did yesterday. And you can tune in there, unless we're told we can't, but you can tune in there and stream live at prophecyhope.com. You can find the link. And if you'd like to meet with us, we can meet. We may not be able to meet as a group, but our address is 1743 West Beverly Street, Stanton, Virginia. But I just wanted to share a text with you, and this is actually found in the Bible book of Luke. And it was interesting because it actually has to do with the parable of the fig tree. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 29, it says, "Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." Verse 32 says, Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." And then he talks about in the next verse, verse 34, he says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." So the thing is, are we prepared? You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of a tragedy or a disaster to recognize that maybe my walk with God isn't what it should be. Maybe I have been paying more attention to material things, getting weighed down in the cares of the day. And sometimes it's good for things like this to happen so that we can reevaluate our lives, get our affairs in order, and recognize and prioritize our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I just hope that you can be comforted and know that God wants every person to be saved, and the choice is ours. So if you're a little worried about this, pray about it. Ask God to give you the courage to be able to endure, to not be overly anxious. You know, God takes care of those who are His. And sometimes He'll allow us to go through a trial to refine us a little bit. And I just hope that if you or your family are going through some troubles, if you've been affected in a terrible, terrible way by this, if your job is affected, you know, let us know. We pray for people individually. We pray every week. We come together. And even if we can't meet as a group in the church or in a home, we will get together through the internet, and we get together over the phone, and we can still do a broadcast from Prophecies of Hope, even if we're not in the church. So just be encouraged that we will be getting together as long as my health holds up, which so far so good, as long as Rick and Ed are doing well, we will continue to keep you informed, to keep broadcasting, to keep preaching the gospel, and we will continue to put videos out and have this program as long as we can do it. And I just wanted to give you that peace of mind, just so that you would be comforted, so that you know that there are people who do care, know that your Heavenly Father cares. And these things that are happening, you know, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We have no idea. We know, we always feel like it's close. We always should have that sense of urgency. We should always feel like it's coming very soon. But we don't know when we're going to take our last breath. You know, I learned that a couple of years ago when I ended up in surgery. And I might talk about that sometime when Rick and I do our next study together. But we never know when we're going to take our last breath. So our relationship with the Lord had better be right, because we don't get another chance. What we do with this life, when we die, when we've taken our last breath, or when Jesus comes, whichever comes first, our destiny is sealed. It's as if the door to the ark has closed. So be positive, friends. Keep praying. You know, hopefully this will pass. We'll be back to a relatively normal lifestyle. And if not, I believe that the Lord will take care of us. But what I'd like to do now is go ahead and play this sermon for you. I hope that you get a blessing from it. And it's entitled, They Will Not Endure Sound Doctrine. So I hope you enjoy it. We'll come back for a few comments and a closing prayer as soon as it's through. So our theme for the series in the last 2 years has been an unpopular, politically incorrect message. And it is unpopular, and it is politically incorrect. A lot of people don't like the message that we proclaim here at this little church, in this ministry. People come and go. They come to the Bible study. They'll show up on Wednesday nights, and we get into discussions, and they come, and they enjoy it, and they say, I love the things I'm learning. Many say, I've never learned so much. I've never learned so much in such a short period of time. But then they leave. Why? Why do they come? They're learning so much. I've never learned so much about the Bible as I've learned when I come to this Bible study. Look, the difference between this Bible study and most is that we do study the Bible. It's not that we have any kind of special knowledge or abilities or any kind of special learning. We're letting the Bible do the talking. And there is power in the Word of God. Tremendous power. Others have said, you know, I've been to a lot of other Bible studies, and I've noticed that none of them use the Bible as much as this group uses the Bible. Then why do they leave? Why are they not here? Why do they come for a short period of time, and then they stop? And people visit and say, you know, I see more Bible truth taught here than I've ever heard in all of my life. Now, I'm not making these things up. These are conversations that people have with us. I've been going to other churches all of my life, and I've never heard the truths that are coming from the Bible. I've never seen the verses that you all are looking at, and so many that support the things that you believe and teach. Why do they stop coming? What's the problem? Is it us? Is it that we're weird? Are we different? Compared to the world, we're different. We stand out a little bit. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. Isn't that true? And we take pains to make sure in the course of every study that if somebody has a question, that we address it. That happened this morning in Sabbath school. There was a question that kept coming up, and finally I spoke up and said, look, let's just address the question, because for me personally, this is how it works. If I have a question in my mind, and even though the person's trying to lay the foundation, sometimes I want that question answered a little out of order. And that's all part of witnessing, learning that. And years ago, when I was first, somebody was studying the Bible with me, I would ask a question, and oh, we'll get to that. Well, we'll get to that. Oh, we never got to it. We never got to it, so I had to start studying on my own. You see, it's the responsibility of every Christian to teach what the Bible says and to do it. Not just teach it, but to teach it and to do it. And that's where it becomes difficult. And when people come to the Bible study and they hear the word of truth, they like what they hear, but the problem is they don't want to do it. Isn't that true? They will not endure sound doctrine. I can go to a church down the road and hear a message that's comforting, makes me feel warm and fuzzy, makes me feel good about myself, and I leave there, woohoo, I'm all built up and I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the week. But what's it preparing me for? Is it just to make me feel good, or is it preparing me for some of the opposition I might get? Is it preparing me for Christ's coming? Is it preparing me for God's kingdom? What do I want to hear? Will I endure sound doctrine? Well, I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. I was going to start in a different chapter, but you know, Ed and I were speaking. There we go. Ed and I were speaking the other night. I have Ezekiel chapter 3. I was going to start in 33, but I remembered that Ed had said something to me the other night when I was telling him what I was going to speak about. And he says, you know, Ezekiel says the same thing at the beginning of the chapter as he says in chapter 33. So I said, you know what? I'm going to change this up a little bit. Let me start in Ezekiel chapter 3. Now, there's a heading in my Bible. My Bible has little headings, and it's above certain verses, and it says, Ezekiel is a watchman. Now, our brother Ed gave a sermon about 2 years or so ago called The Watchman on the Wall, if I remember right. And it was really good, and it was preparing us for the times that we're living in. And I thought we'd look at this today in a little bit different way than what Ed did. He looked at a lot of Bible prophecies and things that the Bible foretells are going to happen. But notice here in Ezekiel chapter 3, I want to begin with verse 16. That's where mine says, Ezekiel is a watchman. I believe that's where I want to start. Yes, it is. And look at verse 16. It says, now, it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. So this is God speaking to Ezekiel to warn the nation of Israel about their deeds, about what they're doing, about things that they're doing that may not be characterized by the character of God. Verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, or his sin is what that means, but his blood I will require at your hand. Verse 19, he says, yet, if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity or in his sin, but you have delivered your soul. So he's saying that you're responsible for what you know. Isn't that what this says? You're responsible for what you know. We've said this before. I've made this statement many times. With knowledge comes responsibility and accountability. And that's what this is saying. There's responsibility and accountability. And it's that way with anything, even in a job. The more you know it's your job, the more that's expected of you. And the more accountable you become. Anybody that has a job with any kind of responsibility recognizes that. If you have this ability to be able to do a job, the boss is going to say, I want you to do this job. And he expects you to do it according to the abilities he sees you have. So let's continue here. Let's see, I think I stopped in verse 19. Let's pick it up in verse 20. It says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, I will lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because he did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Notice that his righteousness, that's self-righteousness. And then verse 21, it says, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So by helping others, you can actually save yourself. That's pretty amazing. If I help someone else, that can save me. You see, how many times have we said it? Nobody learns more than the teacher. When the teacher is teaching, whether it's in Sabbath school, whether it's up here, when you're preparing for that lecture or for that Sabbath school or for that Bible study, the one that's directing it has learned more than you will probably learn sitting here listening. And when I read these things, they point right back at me. That's what I see. And I hope that as you do this and you're a Bible student and you learn these things and you read from the Bible and you come to the Bible study and you hear a ring of truth, that you'll point the finger inward and say, I need to know these things and I need to live up to them. Because with this knowledge, boy, I've learned more here than I've learned anywhere else, but I'm not coming anymore because I feel I'm accountable. It's unpopular. Accountability is a dirty word in this world that we live in. No one is accountable for anything. It's my mother's fault that I'm the way that I am. It's my father's fault. He did this to me. No, it's not. We do inherit genetics that can affect us. I want you to turn with me now to Ezekiel 33. This is the same prophet. You know, Ezekiel is this, just to lay a little foundation for you, Ezekiel was a priest, he was a prophet, he was a man of God. And he actually is ministering here to the nation of Israel in the darkest days of Judah's history. I mean, things are really bleak. And here he is. He uses prophecies in the book of Ezekiel. He uses parables. He uses signs. He uses symbols. And he uses all of these things to dramatize God's message to his exiled people. That's what this is all about. This is all about saving God's people, trying to get them to do what God's asking them to do. So Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, my Bible has a message here, or a little heading here, that says, The Watchman and His Message. Ezekiel 33, and I'm just going to begin in verse 1. We're going to read through this a little bit, and let's see how we can apply this to us, to our day. It says again in verse 1, The word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Have you ever watched a newscast where a storm is coming and the city or the province where it's going to hit warns the people saying, you need to get out of your house. The hurricane is coming. And they even state it. If you're in your home, the law says you have to leave. And what do some people do? We're just going to hunker down and stay. We're just going to stay right here. We're going to beat the odds. Sometimes that works. But most of the time it doesn't. And let me say, when it's against God's word, it will never work. History has proven that. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning shall save his life. Isn't that the case? That's what the city said. If you stay here, we can't help you. Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So it's important that if we know something, that we alert others as to what's going to take place. That's the whole purpose. That's the reason for ministry. That's the reason why churches are supposed to exist. I use that word supposed to exist because some say, well, there's not really a storm coming. It's going to be nice and pretty and life is good and Jesus loves you. And it's just beautiful picture painted. They never say to you, look, life is good, but be careful. Because you can fall into a trap. You can fall into one of Satan's snares. You can be taken by him. They don't say that. Life is good. Let's shout and praise and let's sing and dance and have donuts and coffee. That's what I see. You don't find any of those here. Verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. This is God speaking. He's speaking to Ezekiel. He says, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak and warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. It's a strong warning. Verse 9, nevertheless, if you warn the wicked, turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Each person is responsible for himself, but it's up to us to warn them if we know something's coming. Verse 10, therefore you, O son of man, that's Ezekiel, he's speaking to Ezekiel when he says, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if your transgression and your sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? He's pleading with them. He's pleading with them. Turn from what you're doing. Turn back. Let's keep going just a little further. Therefore, you, O son of man, in verse 12, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall that righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. How many times have we said that Jesus didn't come to save us in our sin? He came to save us from our sin. Isn't that what this is saying? In other words, I want to live the life I want to live, but I expect Jesus to save me either way because I love him. Now, if you love him, he says, you'll keep my commandments. If I love my wife, I do the things that please my wife within reason. If they don't please God, I don't do those, right? Everything boils down to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do I want to please him or do I want to please the people around me? Well, ultimately, we want to do both. But the most important relationship is that which we have with our Heavenly Father. And he will make up a family for us. We will have a family. It will happen. So let's pick it up in verse 14. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die if he turns from his sins and he does what is lawful and right. If the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live and shall not die. I don't hear this message being preached, whether I watch a televangelist or whether I visit a local church. The message that I hear is it doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Live your life. Be a good person. Treat others well. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, yeah, love your neighbor as yourself, but is that all there is to it? Don't I have to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father? Verse 16, none of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet, verse 17, the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Boy, I've heard that. It's just not fair. God's going to destroy all of these people. All these good people that are going to church and living up to what they know? Oh, wait a minute. If they're living up to what they know, he can read the heart. But being a good person doesn't get me there. It says, but it is their way in which is not fair. Verse 17. Let's read it again. Yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way which is not fair. You see what he's saying? God is fair. We're not fair. That's the problem. Verse 18, when the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. So is what we do and what we say, what we think, what's in our mind and heart? Remember, Ecclesiastes, we're told that God will judge us for every secret thing. He reads the mind and the heart. And that's why I love the fact that he's the judge, because like I said before, I can fool you into thinking, oh, I like you, you're my friend. But down inside, I could be rotten. I can fool myself, and I can fool you, but I can't fool God or his son. If we could just get people to realize that, because I really think that when people go home and they close the door and they do things behind that closed door and think, well, you know, my shades are closed, no one can see me. You're right. No one out there can see you, but the Father and his Son see you. And they know what's in your heart. They know what you're thinking. It really holds us accountable. It really does. And look at chapter 33, verse 30. This looks like when I read through this, I felt like I was reading the book of James. I really did. Because listen to what he says here. Chapter 33 and verse 30 of Ezekiel, it says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and at the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from Jehovah. So they come to you as people do, and they sit before you as my people. This is God speaking. And they hear your words, but they do not listen to them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Wow. Didn't Jesus quote that? Didn't he say, your mouths say these things, but your heart is far from me? You see, this is very serious when we look at this. Indeed, in verse 32, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. I hear more truth here than I have heard anywhere else. Pleasant words. Pleasant words. They hear your words, but they do not do them. Verse 33, and when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Well, this is the prophetic word of God. And people know it when they hear it. If they take the time to listen, they know it and they hear it. They know it when they hear it. But unfortunately, most don't want to conform to what God's word says. They want to live their life the way they want to live it. And that's why people come and go. That's why people show up. Oh, I love this. It's like that beautiful song that we just read about. What did it say? They come to you as people do, and they sit before you as my people. Verse 31, and they hear your words, but they don't do them. You see, they're pursuing their own gain. That's what happens. Next, I want to take a look at chapter 34 just for a moment. Just for a moment. Because this is addressing not just those who come, but those of us who teach. See, everybody gets a lesson here. Everybody gets a lesson here. So this is addressing those who preach from the front, those who teach in Sabbath school, those who lead out in Bible study. And this is why we take these things so seriously. Okay? So let's pick up chapter 34 of Ezekiel. And I want to begin in verse 1. It says, and the word of Jehovah came to me, that is to Ezekiel, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. prophesy against the shepherds. You're going to see why as we read through this. The shepherds are the teachers, the preachers, those taking the lead. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord Jehovah to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? When you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Who is the flock? It's those who come to listen to the written word of God. Verse 4, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force you and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. So what's this saying? It's saying, well, the shepherds are going to schools and they're studying and they're learning all of these things, but they're not really preaching what the Word of God says. Because if they were, these people would be warned. It's a lesson for anyone who has any kind of a teaching position or any kind of a pastoral or ministerial duty in a church or even a ministry of any type. Verse 7, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Jehovah. As I live, says the Lord Jehovah, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. You see, if we're preaching the feel-good message and we're not preaching what the Bible says, we're not feeding the sheep. And I've made this comment, and it was kind of shocking to some. And when in a Bible study situation, when I said, look, the vast majority of churches, if we go and we sit there, there are many people sitting in that church that are not living up to what God is requiring of them. I'm by no means perfect. I'm a sinner every day, whether by thought or deed. And I believe that I can overcome that if I allow Christ to work in me. But what I'm saying is, if we have something in our lives that we know is wrong and we're blatantly and openly doing it, get it out of your life. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off because we don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people will look at this world and say, yeah, it's getting better and better. And it's true. The economy's looking good. Unemployment is low. Right now, when you look around, while there's terrible division, economically, this country is doing pretty well. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak. Put all of your eggs in one basket. What happens? If something falls on them, you have no eggs, right? So if we put our trust in this world, when it's destroyed, what's going to happen? If our trust is in the world, we're going to go down with the world. But if our trust is in our Heavenly Father, well, then we have that hope of living for eternity. This message in Ezekiel speaks not just to people who are listening to the Word of God, but people who are teaching the Word of God. And that's why we take it seriously. We take these things very seriously. In fact, I would like you to turn with me to next to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is where our scripture reading was today. There's a reason I chose this message, and it's because of some of the things that have come up in Bible study, in conversations that I've had with people, whether it be family or whether it be friends or interactions that I've had on the internet through another ministry that I'm involved in. And so through these things, some of these conversations have come up. And I thought it was time to really talk about it. I've talked about Ezekiel 33 and 34 before. Some of the illustrations that I will use, you've probably heard before. But sometimes we need to revisit those things. We need to talk about them. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, this was the scripture reading. This is what Brother Rick read earlier. And this is Paul writing to young Timothy, who was a young elder or deacon or elder in the church. And here's what he says in verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now I want to stop there. If I am preaching up here and I'm doing nothing but making you feel good, am I rebuking? Am I convincing? Am I exhorting? You see, I can convince you that let's just have a feel-good message. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for Christ's coming. Our characters need to be ready. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Bible says that over and over and over. Verse 3, for the time will come, and I believe that's now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Now, there's some translations say they hire for themselves those who will tickle their ears. You know, kind of feels good. I'm going to deliver that feel-good message. I want to make you happy. I want people to leave here feeling good about themselves. Well, we do. We all want to feel good about ourselves. And we all want to be happy. But how happy would I be if the preacher didn't tell me what I had to hear? You know, why didn't you warn me? I don't want my next-door neighbor to say, Mark, why didn't you tell me that this was going to happen? I don't want anybody to come here saying, well, you deceived me and tricked me into thinking that everything was good when this tribulation is coming. You see? Verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales, is what that literally means. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is Paul talking to young Timothy, encouraging him, saying, look, people aren't going to want to hear what you're preaching. People will show up. Oh, I'm learning. I've learned more. But, you know, I've learned enough now. I've learned enough. I don't want to hear anymore. Now, just a few pages back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, we were just in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy is just a couple of pages over. Chapter 4, notice verse 15. It says, and this is Paul talking to Timothy again. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Talking about God's word. That your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Isn't that what we read in Ezekiel? I mean, you see how beautiful the Bible is, both Old and New Testaments? And yet there are people that say, I don't want to go to the Old Testament. But boy, it just puts so much meaning into what we read from the New, because Paul's actually quoting from Ezekiel. He was a Hebrew. He was a Pharisee. He knew what the Old Testament said. So just think about those things. Think about what we're talking about. God's message cannot be changed to accommodate the feelings of people who don't want to live by His word. And if we do that, then we're guilty of these things that we're held accountable for in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and by Jesus. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord. I can picture that in my mind's eye. When I visit somewhere and they're preaching this message and there's nothing there to, okay, you're making me feel good, but wait a minute, how do I get there? How do I get this promise that God has given me
Is it just by feeling good? Is it just by being happy? We can't change the message. You know, I put this in the bulletin. Take a look at that. It's on the PowerPoint there. You see these people, they're just lined up to hear the comforting lies. Just lined up to hear it. They've got a choice there, comforting lies or unpleasant truths. I hear all the time, boy, these churches are packed. You've got 1,200 people. You've got three services, 500 people at a time. Well, what's different about there than here? What's different? I have respect for some of these pastors, tremendous respect. The problem is the pastors that I know that are filling these churches, when we talk one-on-one, they believe one thing. But when they get in front of their church, they teach something to the contrary. I've experienced that myself. And I've asked them, if you know this, why don't you preach it? I'd be out of a job if I did that. My church would be empty. So you line them up to tell them what they want to hear, just like Paul said to Timothy, to tell them what they want to hear, instead of saving lives and having fewer people here, risking your job, so what? So I lose my job. You're preaching the truth. You're preaching the truth. But look, that guy's sitting there, he's kind of bored, unpleasant truths. He's disappointed. And the other guy, he's just got those comforting lies just lined up for him. You know, I wonder what it would have been like. I want you to imagine for a moment that you were here. And you go to the captain and you say, Captain, what's up? I felt the ship jar. I felt something. What's going on? Oh, nothing. It's the safest ship in the world. This is a luxury liner. Enjoy yourself. Eat. There's plenty of food. Enjoy yourself. You know, go to bed. The bed's nice and fluffy and comfortable. The pillows are nice. And, you know, your stewards turn down your bed for you. Just enjoy yourself. Listen to the beautiful music. The music's just great. Have some coffee and donuts. Do you see the parallel? Do you want the comfortable lies or the uncomfortable truth? What do you want? What do you want to hear? If you were in this situation, what would you want to hear? Let's be honest with yourself. Yeah, I want to hear the lies. I don't think any person in their right mind would sit here and tell me that if they were on that ship, the Titanic, on April 14th, 1912, that they would want to hear this message, the unpleasant truths. That's what they want to hear. They wouldn't want to hear those comfortable lies. I'm sorry, I'm getting my metaphors mixed up here. They would want to hear the truth, wouldn't you? Do you want me to preach a feel-good message? Oh, the Titanic, you know, it's unsinkable. It's not going down. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You see, there was a man that was on this. I've given this illustration before, but there was a steward. Aren't we stewards of God's word? And I just thought this would be good just to kind of cover this again. This is true. On April 14th, 1912, we know this event. There have been movies made about it, lots of books written about it. I've always been intrigued by this event. I actually went on a tour in a museum where they took you through and they showed you artifacts from it. And it was very interesting. At the beginning of the program, you'd get a ticket and it would have the name of one of the passengers and you'd carry that through and you'd line that name up with certain parts of the tour. So you get to know a little bit about the person whose label you had. So when you were through, you felt like you knew that person. You felt like you'd met them before. And at the end, when you come to the end of the tour, you get to look and see, did they survive or not? Mine survived. Tanya's survived. And it made me think, did anybody get one that didn't? So I asked the person behind me, when we got through, I said, did your person survive? And they looked and said, no. You see, the majority of people died that night, didn't they? In spite of, on one particular floor, there was a steward that would work, and He went to bed. He had the night shift or the evening shift, and he went to bed. He was in his room at 11 o'clock. He was all cleaned up. He was in his pajamas. And about, I don't know, what time was it? 11:45, I believe, when it hit the iceberg. He felt the ship move in a way that he had never felt. So he's debating, what do I do? You know, that didn't feel right. Something feels wrong. He was experienced. So what did he do? Did he go to bed? I'm not worried about it. No. He got dressed. He went up and reported to one of the decks, wherever he knew where the captain was. And he could see the look of concern in the captain's face. And he said, what's going on? Well, we just hit an iceberg. But this is a safe ship. You know, we have locking compartments that will block the water. We feel pretty confident things are going okay. We know the story. We know what happened. But that steward in his mind, he's thinking, you know, I don't think we can be too safe. So he goes back to his floor that he was responsible for, the rooms that he was responsible for, and he starts knocking on the doors, not just, hello, anybody there? No, he was knocking, beating on the doors, warning people, we've hit an iceberg, get your life vest, and let's come out and get to, now they would call it the muster station. I don't know if that's what they called it then or not, but let's get to the place where we need to be for safety. Well, there were a few that listened, but the majority didn't. Did he stop at that? No, he kept going. He aggravated some people to the point that they told him, don't come back. I don't want to hear it anymore. You've been hollering this for the last hour. Nothing has changed. Wouldn't you think they kind of feel the ship moving a little bit? I mean, it didn't stay in one position. Its angle had to change. But they denied the warning. Well, when the water started coming down the hallway where he was, he didn't stop there. He went up to the next level, started warning people, and the next level. He ends up on the deck where the safety boats were, the lifeboats, and he saw some of the people that he had warned with their life vests on, ready to get on the lifeboat. Their lives were saved. Some that didn't listen, naturally they weren't. Others that weren't prepared, which was the ones who built the liner, they weren't prepared for that going down because they didn't have enough to accommodate everyone. That was a big learning lesson in the maritime field. But think about it. How did he feel when he saw the people that he had warned wearing the life vest on the ship, getting on the lifeboats, and he himself was saved as well? What would that have been like? Comforting lies or unpleasant truth? What do you want to hear? Well, friends, we're on a ship that's sinking, and it's sinking fast. But people want to hear those comforting lies. Could you imagine the steward saying, you know, I think I'll vacuum the room one last time before the ship goes down. Let me make the bed over here in this other room because I forgot to do it. Is that what he was doing? No, he was warning. There's no time to fool around. It's no different today. It's no different today. There's no time to fool around. You know, people are going to come. People are going to go. This world is doomed. We're told that. We might live out a full lifetime. I might live to be 90 years old before Jesus comes. He might not come in my lifetime, but he might come next week. We don't know. Be ready. Get your life vest on. And be warning others. Warn them. You know, we think it's overwhelming. We look around and we see, and I just want to share this one last thing. We look around and we see people around us and we think, you know, it's so overwhelming because all of this community out here, there's 24,000 people in the city of Stanton, and there's what, about not even a dozen people sometimes that show up. And it seems overwhelming. But just what Rick did yesterday in talking with that gentleman in the hardware store, and he saw Rick's card because he was giving him his phone number because we were looking for windows for the apartment next door, and it turned into a witness. So you just think about it. If there were only four people here, there's just four of us, four people here and four people here, we'll say eight. That's how many were on the ark. So we'll use eight. Four people over here and four people in this pew. And each one of those four people talked to four people. And then each one of those four people talked to four people, and they were spreading this warning. How quick would the gospel be spread? He said, well, that's just eight people. So I did a little math here. If four talked to four, that would be 16, right? And if those 16 talked to four, that would be 64. And if those 64 talked to four, 256, then 1024, then 4,096, then 16,000, then 64,000, 256,000, then a million, a little over a million, then 4 million, then 16 million, 64 million, 256 million, a billion, 4 billion, and then 16 billion. So in just eight pews of those fours, eight and a half, you've witnessed to the world twice. It's that simple. The problem is nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. But be proactive. Be in the ministry. They will not endure sound doctrine. And sometimes it's the people that you love the most that will not endure it. And they'll choose not to come, or not to study, or not to look a little deeper, not to go a little further. Some people don't want to hear it. We can't force them. So be ready. Be ready when the end comes, because this ship's going down fast.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have for this week, so we need to close with prayer. I hope that you enjoyed that sermon. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, the Bible. We thank you for the gospel message, and we just pray that as many as possible will be saved, will listen and heed your word, and come to a knowledge of truth, and live according to the way that you want us to live. Father, thank you for every gift. We ask for your protection until we come together again, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, we hope to be back again next week, and everything will be hopefully headed back to normal. If not, we'll do this from the house if we have to, wherever we need to do it from. So until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.